This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, sitting in for John Hockenberry, and we thank you so much for listening. This year, more people around the world have been displaced from their homes than at any time since the Second World War. They've left South Sudan and Myanmar, Eritrea, Iraq, and Syria, fleeing war and oppression. Most have headed for Europe by land or sea. Thousands have died along the way. But for these refugees, arriving in Europe isn't the end of their struggles. They have to get asylum and resettlement. And here's a number that may startle you. Of the more than 1 million refugees who've arrived in the EU, only 190 have been formally relocated. Obstacles, both bureaucratic and political, are causing huge backlogs. The epicenter of the crisis is in Germany, where an estimated 1.1 million asylum seekers have arrived, though a number of those are from the Balkans. In Berlin, a crowd outside the city's administrative complex is filled with refugees from around the world. One man named Amar told our producer, Thalia Beatty, that he'd spent the night in the street waiting in line to register his application.
There's something not logical. There's something, I don't know. And where are we? In Germany, the most organized, most democratic country. I don't know. It's strange.
Even for Syrians who have registered as refugees, there are still long waits and complex systems to navigate. Another refugee in Berlin, Jamal Dasuki, was beside himself with frustration after being told he'd waited at the wrong office.
I have papers that need to be stamped so that my children can go to school. I want to buy them books and notebooks and everything. I've been here since 4 a.m., and now they throw me out and say, not here. Okay, you sent me here. How can you tell me it's not here?
He's a Palestinian who was living in Syria until the war broke out, and now he's wondering where to turn.
I have done everything I can from beginning to end to get my children into school, so they are not sitting at home, so they can learn the language. Okay, if the state isn't helping me, who will? Who can I appeal to?
The crisis has put bureaucratic and political pressure on Europe's institutions. Ambassador William Lacy Swing is Director General of the International Organization for Migration, and he joins me now. Ambassador, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Germany has taken in about 1.1 million refugees so far, about 125,000 a month, if not more. Talk about some of the hurdles, logistical and bureaucratic, even political, that are holding up so many of the placements here.
Well, I think, first of all, Europe was, frankly, a little bit behind the curve in regard to these migrants, because we've known for a long time, since the disaster off Lampedusa in October 2013, in which nearly 400 people lost their lives, that with 5 years of conflict in Syria and almost unmitigated conflict from West Africa to the Himalayas, that a lot of people would start heading north. It's taken them a while to get ready for this. They're now getting, I think, on with the relocation scheme. The numbers are being relocated are too small, and much of the pressure, as you mentioned, has therefore fallen upon Germany. In addition, you have winter now, which means different requirements. We're doing what we can, all of us are, to help register the people, to make sure that they're properly fed and helped, but it is a major task for the countries.
What are conditions like now for most of the unsettled asylum seekers and migrants in Germany? Where are they living and what is life like for them?
Well, I think Germany, as much as anyone, is doing, I think, a superb job of bringing these people into good shelter, making sure that they're warm, that they're fed, taken good care of. They are probably better prepared than anyone else in Europe right now. And we must praise Chancellor Merkel for her very courageous and visionary decision to take in large numbers of refugees, knowing that there was great need there. Unfortunately, not all of the other 27 EU member states chose to follow her. In fact, very few, and that's unfortunate.
We're going to talk in a couple of minutes about the rightward political shift in Poland, part of it due to the migration crisis and other influence as well. How does the shifting politics in some of these countries, Poland and others, affect the situation and complicate it for countries like Germany and other countries across the EU that are trying to deal with this crisis?
Well, it makes it more difficult. I mean, for example, you had four countries of the 28 who decided in September to basically say no to the relocation scheme, and one further country abstained, which puts more pressure on those who are willing to accept large numbers. Because if it were divided along any kind of an equitable basis, a million migrants is less than 0.5% of the population of 550 million. So if there were unity here, then I think the load would be definitely manageable. I mean, our belief is that it's much less a crisis to be managed than a human reality that has to be managed.
And how much is a unified EU policy necessary here? I mean, it's one thing for individual governments to have their own individual political episodes and imperatives, and I think that's expected. But there have been so many problems with unified EU strategy across this crisis, where it's been very difficult to coordinate intake and agreements between the countries.
Absolutely. It's very much less a migrant crisis than a crisis of union and a crisis of leadership. There is unfortunately also a growing anti-migrant sentiment that's fairly widespread, and this makes it very difficult. And we keep trying to say that we must not have refugee amnesia. We mustn't forget that my organization and the UN High Commission for Refugees were both created in 1951 precisely to take Europeans ravaged by the Second World War to safe shores and new lives in the U.S., Canada, and Australia. So this is, it seems to me, is extremely important. And I think the European Union itself, the Commission and the Council, are doing a very good job of trying to lead on this. But as you say, the member states then have to follow. Partly it's a psychological adjustment, because for four centuries, European nations and many others were continents of origin, and now they've become, for four decades, continents of destination. And that requires a psychological adjustment that requires leadership.
Back to Germany just for one moment and the 1.1 million refugees that they've agreed to take in. It's been a huge logistical hurdle. Do you have the anticipation now that Germany is going to be able to properly place each and every one of those people by the end of this or by the end of 2016?
That's a hard calculation for us to make from our vantage point. We have a role, but a fairly modest role in all of this. We certainly look upon Germany as one of our key partners, and I think if anyone can do it, they will be able to do it. They have the capacity to do it, and they seem to have had very good support at the local level, but that is always under pressure as the numbers mount.
Ambassador, thank you for your time.
You're most welcome. Thank you very much.
Ambassador William Lacey Swing is Director General of the International Organization for Migration.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.